Xian recovered his normal appearance and lowered his eyes. He bowed his head to Alicia.
"Do I make myself clear?" the girl whispered.
"Yes, my lord,"
Xian replied.
"Lord?"
I thought. My mind raced over the possibilities. Alicia exhaled and pressed her thumb against the spot between her eyebrows.
"Don't talk, Xian. Just don't talk. We'll all be happier and safer."
She breezed past him, back to the little waiting area, and sat down. She picked up a copy of Newsweek, sitting out on an end table, and began to flick through it, while Xian remained standing near the door. I pretended to be drowsing. Casey returned a couple of minutes later and said,
"Miss Nelson, it's going to be a while before Dr. Brioche can see you."
"How long?" she asked, smiling.
"An hour or so, at least," Casey said. "He says that if you'd like to make an appointment for this afternoon, that he'd be glad to s—"
"No," she interrupted him, shaking her head firmly. "Some of his business is time critical, and I need to recover his effects at the earliest possible opportunity. Please tell him that I will wait." Casey lifted his eyebrows and then shrugged.
"Yes, ma'am."
I blinked my eyes a few times and then sat up straight, stretching.
"Oh, hey, Casey,"
I mumbled, standing. I feigned a limp and went to the desk.
"I left my cane in Butters' office. Would it be okay to go back and grab it?"
Casey nodded.
"One second."
He picked up the phone, and a second later I heard polka music pumping through the little speaker.
"Doctor, your consultant friend forgot something in your office. You want me to send him back?"
He listened, nodding, and then waved me at the door, buzzing me through. I hurried back to Butters' examination room and knocked. Butters unlocked the door to let me in.
"Hurry," I told him, glancing back down the hall. "We've got to go."
Butters gulped.
"What's going on?"
"There are some bad guys here."
"Gravain?"
he asked.
"No, new bad guys," I said.
"More of them?"
Butters said.
"That's not fair."
"I know. It's getting to be like Satan's reunion tour around here."
I shook my head. "Is there a back door?"
"Yes."
"Good. Grab your stuff and let's go."
Butters gestured at the exam table.
"But what about Eduardo?"
I chewed on my lip.
"You find out anything?"
"Not a lot," he said. "A car hit him. He suffered some pretty massive blunt impact trauma. He died."
I frowned and took a few steps toward the corpse.
"There's gotta be more to it than that."
Butters shrugged.
"If there is, I didn't see it."
I frowned down at the dead man. He was a painfully skinny specimen. His abdomen had been opened with a neat Y incision. There was a lot of blood and disgusting-looking grayish flesh. Broken, jagged bone protruded from the skin of one leg. One hand had been crushed into pulp, and his face looked familiar. I recognized him.
"Butters," I said. "What was this guy's name?"
"Eduardo Mendoza."
"His full name," I said.
"Oh, Eduardo Antonio Mendoza."
"Antonio," I said. "It's him. It's Tony."
"Who?"
Butters asked. "Bony Tony Mendoza," I said, excited. "He's a smuggler." Butters tilted his head at me.
"A smuggler? Not like Han Solo, I guess."
"No, he's a ballooner."
"What's that?"
I gestured at his head. He'd done time in a carnival as a sword swallower when he was a kid. He would fill up a balloon with jewels or drugs or whatever other small items he wanted to move around. Then he swallowed the balloon with a string tied to it. Check at the back of his mouth. He'd wedge the string between two of his back teeth and pull the balloon out when the coast was clear.
"That's silly,"
Butters said, but he went over to the corpse and pried its jaws open. He adjusted an overhead work lamp on a flexible stand and peered down past Bony Tony's teeth.
"Holy crap, it's there."
He fished around for a few moments while I went back to the door and picked up my staff. I looked back to see Butters drag from the corpse's mouth a yellow-white condom with its end closed and a heavy piece of kite cord knotted around it.
"What's in it?"
I asked.
"Hang on."
Butters sliced the condom open with a scalpel and withdrew a small rectangle of dark plastic about the size of a keychain ornament.
"What is that?" I asked him.
"It's a jump drive," he said, frowning.
"A what?"
"You plug it into your computer so you can store data on it when you want to move files around to other machines."
"Information,"
I said, frowning. Bony Tony was smuggling information. Something Gravain needed to know. Maybe the two out front wanted it too. Maybe that's why he got killed.
Ugh,
Butters said. Can you read the information? I asked him.
Maybe, he said. I can try another machine.
Not now, I said. No time. We need to get out of here.
Why?
Because things have just become a lot more dangerous.
They have?
Butters chewed on his lip.
Why?
Because, I said, Bony Tony worked for John Marcone.